Hey, everybody. I just want to give a quick disclaimer before we start the show. Here at Throwback Reviews, we don't approve or support any of the actions or comments made by one Sheriff Buford T. Justice. With that being said, let's get on with Smokey and the Bandit.
You some bitch.
And that's exactly what I'm talking about, Sheriff.
I apologize to all the friendly folk who are listening.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Throwback Reviews. This week's show is about the 1977 film Smokey and the Bandit. My name's Sean, and with me tonight is my friend and this week's co-host, Steve Cherubino. Steve, what's going on, man?
What's going on, Sean?
I'm glad to have you here, man. I'm doing good. Our other co-host, Dor, couldn't make it tonight, so I'm glad you were here. You were going to be here anyways. It was going to be a threesome, but we'll just do it as a duo this week. So starting off, Let me ask you this. We're doing Smokey and the Bandit. Now, is this a film that you saw as a kid or not till recently?
Absolutely, I saw it as a kid. It was the inspiration for an unwise purchase I made last year of a Mustang GT 5.0 liter car, which I had to return in a month because it was just Smokey and the Bandit syndrome. And
so
it wore off.
Yeah, so you were trying to live your childhood dreams through that car.
Pretty much. If I had to blame any movie, it would definitely be that one.
Right, yeah. I did see this movie a few times as a kid. But I'll be honest, I couldn't really remember it that much thinking back on it. And when I picked this movie to do as an episode, when I was going to do the rewatch, I kind of thought, did I pick a good movie? And when I watched it, I was glad. I was glad that I did because this movie was really, really funny. And I think now watching it as an adult, you catch a lot of the humor. It was definitely a good choice, I think, for episode two. So
definitely. This is definitely a good choice. In fact, when I heard you guys were going to do it, I totally wanted in because I don't know why I watch it so many times, but when I did do the rewatch, it was almost like I remembered almost every part. Not necessarily the context, because I was a kid, but at least I remembered the pictures of every part.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what I was thinking. I mean, I didn't remember it, but when I watched it, I go, yeah, okay, I remember that. I won't say the one-liners, but a lot of the comments, especially from Jackie Gleason, definitely stuck out in my head. And now looking back, there's certain phrases that I would hear my mother saying over the years. And she still says, tick turd is one. And as I'm watching it, and I don't remember what scene it was, but Jackie Gleason says, you know, some tick turd. And I'm like, oh, my God, that had to have been where my mother got that. Because who says tick turd?
No, no, totally.
I always thought it was something that my mother had made up.
Really?
Yeah. And the other one, some bitch, was something that my stepfather would always say. And same thing. That's where he got it. The other thing that that really stood out for me, one Christmas, and I thought it was from Smokey and the Bandit, but it actually ended up being Smokey and the Bandit 2 when I did some research, was for Christmas one year, I got a set. And it had the actual rig with the mural on the side of the truck with the bandit holding up the stagecoach. It came with a Trans Am, and I want to say it's a Capri, the Smokey's car. It was a police car.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what it was, but it had an elephant. I'm like almost positive it came with a little elephant. So I did some research because I'm like, all right, the elephant thing's kind of throwing me off. And I believe Smokey and the Bandit 2 has Dom DeLuise and something to do with they're transporting an elephant or something, elephant.
Now that I have vague recollection of.
Yeah, I did a little bit of research this morning actually about it because I thought, man, and it's kind of, here's the thing. I have three kids. So I know there'll be a movie out, and I'm not sure what the Iron Man movies are rated, but there's movies like that where I'll see all these toys, like Halo, for instance. Like, from what I know, I'm not a big gamer, but I don't think Halo is like a young kid's game, but you like always see toys for it geared towards younger kids. I thought it was kind of weird that I had a Smokey and the Bandit set after watching this movie. But as we discussed before we started recording, this was a PG rating.
It was PG. And I don't know, you touched on this before. You wanted to get some opinion on the rating system and stuff. I don't know if you wanted to do that now, but I don't know. This movie wasn't that bad. I don't think even back then I would call it R.
No, I would say probably now I would assume it probably get like a PG-13 maybe,
yeah,
rating.
Okay, yeah, I would say so.
Because I don't think the language was too bad. I mean, there was definitely some chauvinistic and racist comments in this film, but it's from 77. I mean, it's kind of like that whole... what is that Archie Bunker show? All in the Family?
Yes.
Like, that's one of those shows that people always talk about. Like, that could not fly. That would not fly that, now. Yeah. I was talking to a mutual friend, this week about this whole thing, or like something like that. Even, you know, it wouldn't fly now, but it was kind of making fun of people that view that act that way or have the views like Archie Bunker. It wasn't really right. Like, it wasn't saying like he's right.
Yeah, it wasn't his views.
Yeah, it's trying to mock people like that think that way. So, but yeah, this that really stood out to me was the place. And as a matter of fact, I think I still have it in my mother's basement somewhere.
Oh,
and
cool. Yeah, post a picture of it
if I can find it, because I know my kids would like it. Every once in a while, I go treasure diving in my mother's basement. So I dig around and try and find some old stuff like that. So before we get into the actors and what we thought of them or the scenes that we liked, well, what I'm going to try to do here, and we're going to see how this works out. I'm going to try and do a whole coverage of the movie in less than 60 seconds. Now, I'm not holding my breath on this, and I'll probably fumble a few times, but I thought it would be kind of fun to see if I could do it. So I wrote up a... which should be able to be read in 60 seconds, but let's give it a shot. So if you have a timer, we talked earlier, you said you got something set.
I got it set. What do you want me to say when after 60? Time's up?
No, I'll just read it, and then you can let me know
how long it was.
Okay. How much I went over the fact here. So, okay, I'm going to start in a second. Let me know when you're ready, or you just say go.
Okay, ready, start.
Rich father and son team Big Enos and Little Enos hire legendary trucker Bandit to haul a truckload of Coors beer from Texas to Georgia within 28 hours for a payment of $80,000. The Bandit gets his friend and partner Cletus Snowman Snow to drive the truck while the Bandit drives Trigger, a black Trans Am, as the blocker car to distract any attention from the snowman. They arrive in Texarkana and pick up the Coors beer and start their journey towards Georgia. Along the way, the Bandit stops and picks up a runaway bride named Carrie. Along with picking up Carrie, the Bandit also picks up a Smokey whose son, Junior, was the one left at the altar. The Smokey then begins a personal multi-state high pursuit chase of the Bandit for the so-called kidnapping and endangerment of multiple officers along the way. The movie is full of roadblocks, car chases, bar brawls, and multiple crashes that end up with a number of police vehicles left inoperable. In the end, the Bandit ends up making the deadline only to have Big Enos offer another challenge. Big Enos offers them double the payment if they can make it to Boston and back in 18 hours, bringing back with them clam chowder. They accept the new challenge and head off to Boston with their buddy Smokey hot on their trail.
1 minute and 11 seconds, 0.8.
That's not too bad.
Nah, it's pretty close. It was a good synopsis, too. Yeah,
I wrote it up earlier today. I thought, you know what? Instead of trying to cover it all in a half hour, 20 minutes, let's put a little challenge to it. So,
you're a good writer, man. After your last blog post and then that, and you should do some more writing, I think.
Yeah, about my phone. If you haven't seen that, SJ Diner had a little mishap with my phone. But so you think, okay, so you think that covers pretty much of the whole synopsis of the film.
Totally. In fact, as you were reading it, it arosen some questions in my mind about some things I didn't even think of before. So I'm putting that in the notes.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. Before we actually do get into this, did your parents, because I was trying to think back, did your parents have any, like, because the Trans Am is the big car in this movie. Did your parents, when you grow up, did your parents have any kind of hot rod or muscle-y type car or?
Yeah, my dad, not at the time of this movie. Well, I was 2 years old when this was out, so I don't remember that. But he did have a, I think it was called a Barracuda. It was orange. It wasn't black. But when I was in my teens, he bought a black Firebird.
Okay.
So I have to think it was somewhat influenced.
Yeah. See, my father had, well, he had a 1971 Renault R10, I think. Not a muscle car at all. A French little car, but really cute car. But after that, he actually had a 71 Chevy Nova. Yellow, man, he got that from my grandfather who bought it used. That car was, I mean, it wasn't souped up or anything, but yeah, to me, that was like the bad car. You know what I mean? And, quick story about that. My brother got quite a lashing, one time when they were in the car and it was still my grandfather's. My brother's in the back seat and, you know, back then seatbelt laws were not in effect. So, kids kind of had free reign of whatever. So my brother, you know, he's in by the back window as my grandfather's driving, and my brother's got his Matchbox car. And come to find out, my brother had scratched his name in the back of the car. So like where the Nova was in the back window, it was kind of like a fake leatherish kind of cardboardish black. Behind the seat where the window would come down, he scratches his name.
Oh my God.
You know, so there was no denying it. So after that point, there was always like my grandfather had put a piece of carpet on there. yeah. But I was just talking to my father about that car and I thought, man, if I had any kind of ability to work on cars, that would have been a great car growing up in high school to have.
That would have been pretty sweet. What year was it?
It was a 71. I'm pretty sure it was a 71. Uh-huh. I asked him about that. And he said, yeah, it was 70 or 71. So that was kind of cool. I wish I could have driven that thing. But instead, I got all the other hand-me-downs.
But you could probably get your hands on one these days. I'm sure they're not that much money.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I don't know how to work on them. And,
yeah, me neither. That's one skill I never picked up.
Yeah. So, all right. So getting into this movie, first of all, we can kind of go through who is in this movie. First of all, we had Burt Reynolds as the bandit. I'm not really sure. I don't remember what his actual name was. They say it once in the movie.
Oh yeah, you're right.
It was Bo Darville. That's what it was, known as the bandit. And, we had Sally Field. She was Carrie, which he then nicknames her the frog because she's hopping around the car so much. So he kind of gives her nickname because she, you know,
her handle.
Exactly. Exactly. We got Jerry Reed. That's his buddy Cletus, or the snowman.
And can I say something about Jerry Reed?
Yeah, go ahead.
Which was a surprise for me. And I only picked it up this time watching the movie. I wanted to know I saw the credits going in the very beginning of the movie, and I'm like, okay, there's Burt Reynolds, there's Sally Field, and I'm like, what's Snowman's name? And Jerry Reed came up, and I'm watching, I'm like, okay, cool, it's Jerry Reed. And then, like, the next couple credits, music performed by Jerry Reed. So I'm like, is that Snowman actually singing the songs? And so I did a little research, I found out he was a country singer, pretty famous back then, apparently, I didn't know. And he sang, like, Eastbound and Down, and the intro song, I think, for the whole movie was him actually singing. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't either. I kind of did the same thing when I was doing a little check on him. And then I looked at it like his IMDb, and there was a lot of credits to him with his music.
Yeah.
So.
It's wild.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. Jackie Gleason, my favorite character. Sheriff Buford T. Justice.
Great name, too. I mean, come on. It's perfect.
Yeah, and then the other two characters would be Enos, Big Enos, and Little Enos. We have Pat McCormick as Big Enos, Burdett, and Paul Williams as Little Enos Burdett. And Paul Williams, I knew he looked really familiar. I checked up his IMDb. He was another musician, and one of the acts that they acknowledge him with is the Muppets. And I was like, you know what? I remember watching the Muppets as a kid growing up, and I remember seeing him.
Really?
And when I looked it up, it didn't say his actual hype. They make it out to be like he's this real short dude, but I don't really think he was as small as they kind of make it out to be.
Huh.
So, but yeah, as I said, Buford T. Justice, definitely my favorite character. Who would you say was your favorite character in this movie?
God. When I was growing up, it was definitely Snowman. I loved the he made me want to wear. I wore a hat all the time when I was a kid, and I think I liked him a lot because he always wore his baseball cap.
Yeah, and you know what, he had a very cool aura about him, and not cool as in like how they kind of have Burt Reynolds. You know, he's the ladies' man, cool guy, but he just had a cool kind of easygoing.
Yeah, he was easygoing.
I mean, even if we can talk about some of our favorite scenes here, I mean, even in the scene where he pretty much gets his butt handed to him in a bar, he still comes out, gets in his truck and throws Fred in there, his basset hound, big old grin on his face, and just plowing over all the bikes.
Dude, I loved that scene. I remembered that scene when I was a kid, and you got to give him props. Like, another reason to like him is he didn't back down in that fight. He tried to take them all on.
Yeah.
And of course he lost, and he radioed the bandit that was the usual outcome, which is also funny. And then he destroyed all the bikes. I remember that scene. I remember feeling so bad for him, and I didn't want anything to happen to his dog. I remember thinking that when I was
because they wanted to put his dog down. That's what I was thinking. And the other thing I was thinking is, like, you know, it's a big truck. But what happens if one of them bikes gets lodged under there when he's driving over? Like, he didn't think twice. He went over like 10 bikes or something, just like plowing through them and had no worries about it. Just laughing the whole way and just takes off. I mean, could you imagine
those bikes were like pancakes? Yeah, I don't know. I think the truck could just, I wouldn't worry about that truck either. If I was driving it, I think I would have done the same thing.
Yeah. So do you have like a favorite scene from this movie or? I mean, I'm sure you probably have a couple, and we can just go through a bunch of them.
Favorite scene I wrote down here because I definitely laughed out loud. The restaurant scene when it's towards, I think, kind of the end of the movie. Burt Reynolds goes in to get a burger for Fred and Snowman, and just to drop off Frog because they're gonna leave her. And Jackie Gleason comes in, all fired up. He tells the waitress he wants a burger. She gives him a burger, and he's like literally stuffing it down his throat. And then Burt Reynolds starts talking to him because, you know, Gleason doesn't know what the bandit looks like. So he's just making conversation. And Jackie Gleason's just spitting all over Burt Reynolds' burger. Like, and as he's trying to talk, and he's just loud and screaming, and he's all like sweating. That was just a classic scene for me.
Yeah, definitely. That I have that written down as one of my favorites too. And I think I couldn't remember before the show, but I think he calls it like an El Diablo or something like that. Like, give me an El Diablo and a Dr. Pepper or something like that.
Yeah, it was something weird.
And then of course, you know, cause, you know, anybody who's seen it, you know, Junior, his son, who's not like some little kid. I mean, I did some research. This guy was a football player, pro football player. So he's a big dude, but he plays this just very, like, his mentality is he's just a child, very dumb guy. And Jackie Gleason really is just annoyed by him. You know, when he comes in, then he's got to yell at him. Do you want anything? And I think I couldn't catch it. I think he said he wanted something like a slushy or something like that. Something
it was like a turnover, like some, I think something gourmet food it was.
Yeah. But that scene was awesome. And doing some reading on that, from what I read, I guess that was ad-libbed by Jackie Gleason, added in. They kind of gave him, free reign to just ad lib anything he wanted. And I guess that was a scene that he put in. And that scene was an awesome scene from beginning to finish.
Wow. I didn't know that was ad libbed. You could tell there was something a little different about that scene because it was just classic.
Yeah. And then he comes because he wants to know, where the bathroom is. He's got to take a squirt.
Yeah.
Which I thought, just the way he says it.
Yes.
You know,
I like when he says bag robber, like when Reynolds like, what did he rob a bank? Bag robber. And you couldn't hear what he was saying. He said it twice. He's like spitting his burger all over the place.
Yeah. He was definitely a slob, but I mean, he was in a hurry. He wanted his burger, much obliged because the bandit paid for it.
Right.
You know, and when he comes out with the toilet paper and he gets all the way outside, he's got the toilet paper because he was cleaning his glasses and the waitress comes out and she's just like, excuse me, pulling it off. And classic, man. He just kind of turns around and you don't expect it. He just turns around and nice ass, and just walks out.
Dude, I thought he said that, but I'm like, no, he couldn't have said that.
I watched that scene three times in a row, because that was the same way. At first, I was like, no, he didn't just say that, did he? And then the second time, I was like, yeah, he did. And then I thought, I got to watch that again. So
I thought that it was classic that the toilet paper was wrapped around his glasses. It wasn't like on his foot or anything. It was coming from his head.
Yes, that was a good scene.
What was your favorite scene?
Well, one of the scenes that stood out, and it's probably my only favorite Burt Reynolds scenes, is in the beginning when his first car chase, and he pulls behind what looks to be like a little tiny brick building in the middle of town, and he watches the cop go past him, and then he slowly rolls up, stops, looks at the camera, gives you that famous smile, and just takes off. That's another one. I watched that like three times, just laughing my butt off. It was very simple, but man, that cracked me up.
That I know, that was a great scene. There's not too many times in movies where they, what do they call that, the fourth wall, where he looks at the camera like he actually sees that he's being, like,
right.
And it reminded me, this is a major tangent, but I'm just telling you what happened in my head when I saw that scene. It reminded me of when Eddie Murphy did that in Trading Places, when they were teaching him how much like a $50 bill was worth or something right. like that. When he looks straight at the camera and break the fourth barrier, fourth wall, whatever you call it, and continue on with the movie.
And it's the only scene that I can remember that it happens.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just thought that was very classic.
Yeah,
I loved it. He just, you know, he just rolled up real slow and stops and looks and smiles. And it was really, that was good.
Yeah.
Any other scenes for you that stand out? I mean, I mean, honestly, the whole movie does.
Favorite scenes. Well, can I tell you a not favorite scene?
Yeah, go ahead.
I wrote down a scene that I remember as a kid just not liking at all. I can't say I fast forwarded it because I don't know if a DVR or VCRs were even out by then. But the love scene. As a kid, I don't know if every kid's like this. They don't want to see you're a kid. You don't want to see like the love scenes or like the pretty scenes or the emotional scenes. I hated the scene where they pull into the woods and the music changes and they go for a little walk. And as a kid, they're talking about things you don't understand. It was just boring. This time, you know, I totally got it. I'm like, all right, cool. You got to add a little bit of that in the movie. But I remember as a kid hating that scene. It was like the boring part because there was no car chases. And there's like fluff, they're driving through the woods and it's all fluffy and there's in a field. It's like, come on.
Yeah, that's like we said in the beginning, we kind of remembered the scenes that came. I didn't remember that at all. I must have been going to get some more Cocoa Puffs at that time because I didn't remember that. And I watched this movie probably three times before tonight, and I would watch little bits at work when I would go on break, and I got to that and I actually kind of was like, really? I'm break. This I know, okay, this is the love scene. This is where he takes his hat off, because he only takes his hat off for one thing. And she asked me to take a hat off. So yeah, that was definitely a low point for me in that film. I was like, all right. But I guess looking into it, I guess they were dating. I don't know if they were dating before the film or they started dating because of the film.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was before or one of those like on set romances kind of thing.
Probably wasn't on set thing.
Yeah,
it looked like it would start. That kind of chemistry would start a relationship.
Well, yeah, because he was like back then. He was like, you know, he was the '70s hunk, right? Yeah. And she was the new, like, up and coming kind of cute girl. I guess you'd say the cute actress. I mean, she had done some other stuff, like I think Gidget and was it The Flying Nun or something? Those shows, I think, previous to this.
Not sure. I was good on movies, but I didn't watch too many shows back then, I don't think.
Yeah, you know, I there's a lot of shows that I watched, but a lot of shows I never watched like the entire series, or I just,
right.
You know, cause you guys, I mean, for anybody, any new listeners, Steve and I do a podcast once a week, on Android applications, Android App Addicts, podnuts.com. And, these guys rag me a lot for my love of Angela Lansbury and Murder, She Wrote. And even that, like, I don't remember, like, it wasn't like I would, and I never got to, you know what, this is my show, so I can actually explain this on Android Apex. I don't get the time to explain it. But I never really, like, was like, oh, mom, I gotta, no, I can't go out and play football. I'm gonna watch Murder, She Wrote. But it was kind of one of those shows that I remember like my grandmother watching. So I would come in and passing. So it's more of an attachment that way. You know what right. I mean?
Do you really love that show? I got to ask now that you mentioned your love of it. Or do you just watch it because of that sentimental value?
It's like, it's both. I wouldn't say I love it like I'm a huge fan of Lost. It's not on that level.
Yeah.
But, and would I watch it if I had never seen it? Would I go back and I don't know, probably not. But yeah, it kind of puts me back at a different time when things were simpler, I guess you could say, a little more innocent, you know, and reminds me, you know, my grandparents are gone. So it kind of, yeah, it reminds me of my grandmother. And for all I can remember, she'd watched it a little. It wasn't like it was her program.
Right.
But I don't know, it reminds me, which a lot of the old throwback kind of retro-y stuff is that way.
Yeah, I agree.
So I got to air that out on this show because you guys don't ever give me a chance on App Addicts. Just like to hound me and move on to the next app.
That's hilarious.
Another scene that I really, really enjoyed was when we're first introduced to Buford T. Justice, when he pulls up after Burt Reynolds picks up Sally Field and the van pulls up and there's the three kids, you know, kind of, they're going to rip this car off. I don't know if they're going to take the tires or what they're going to do, you know, and he kind of sits there, clicks the Zippo, and that's when they notice. And just, you know, when he walks up, he knees the first guy right in the groin and he's like, oh, you know, says something like, you're tired. That whole scene, you know, he kicks the other guy in the butt, tells him that's an attention getter.
Yeah.
You know, and they're just freaking out. That scene alone, and you kind of, I mean, like I said, this is when you're introduced to him. You find out that his son, who's a grown man, you know, he can't even hand his father a cigarette the right way. Hands it to him backwards. So he kind of gives him a look for that. And, so you kind of get the vibes of how they are. So that scene right there, hold up the car wash, boys, I think is what he first says to him, was really good. Really enjoyed that scene.
You know what? I did too. And you don't know if he's going to be a buffoon at that point or he's going to be just a hard ass at that point. But it was a hilarious scene. And the kids were so scared, they didn't even take their hands off the car after he left, or at least one of them.
Well, yeah, because the one wanted to leave and the other one said, you can do what you want, but
I'm staying, you know, right here.
Yeah, I'm staying right here because he was going to send somebody.
Yeah. But it actually, that brought up a question that also I didn't remember when I was a kid. Is Junior... I thought, in my mind, I thought Junior was a cop, like a deputy cop. Maybe in the later movies he was, but he wasn't, right? He was just along for the ride.
I think he is. I think he has like a Stetson on, which would be like the, you know, police hat. I think they call it a Stetson. And at the end scene where, just before they actually leave to go to Boston, where they stop, that car that runs him off, he tells him to go and write him up or something like that. So I think he was.
Okay.
I think he was. I'm not positive.
I was not sure about that. That was one point that I wanted to get clarified.
Yeah, but that's definitely a good scene. Any other scenes that stand out for you? Or
yeah. Yeah, I love when we're introduced to Big and Little Enos, and I definitely remembered some of the lines that Little Enos said to Burt Reynolds in the beginning, but I didn't realize how funny they were until I watched it this time. For example, when when Burt Reynolds asks, you know, Biginess, why he wants so much beer. This I did remember as a kid, and I thought it was funny. He's like, why do you need so many cases? And little wise-ass Enos, I'm sorry, dude, can I say that?
Yeah, that's cool.
Okay. He's like, why do you need so much beer? He's like, because he's thirsty, dummy. And he says it with this scraggly, like, you know, he's Biginess's son, and he seems just about the same age as him. It didn't really match up. But the way he said that was funny. And then he does another wisecrack to Burt Reynolds, and Burt Reynolds says, well, no, that's creative. Why don't you say something about my mother? And then he starts saying, your mama is so ugly.
Yeah, and then he gets cut off, doesn't he?
He gets cut off, yes. But that whole part, man, I just love that.
Yeah, he was definitely like the spoiled smartass, you know, son.
Yeah.
You know, brought up, he's got money. I remember that scene. That was definitely good. You know, we talked about this briefly before the show. Most of the scenes that really made this, like, I really, really enjoyed this movie. But it was mostly the Jackie Gleason scenes that really made it for me. I mean, the car chases were really good. But it was more of all the Jackie Gleason was just great in this movie. And I remember him, like I said, I don't remember lines, but I remember that he was funny in this movie. But more what I would think of as Jackie Gleason in The Toy.
Yeah.
And not so much standing out for this movie, but for me, he made this movie.
I didn't match him up with The Toy because I did see The Toy, but in my mind, I didn't know Jackie Gleason, for example. In fact, in this movie, I couldn't name that actor till you told me. I just knew what he looked like, but I didn't remember him from The Toy. And I saw The Toy a bunch of times, but I didn't match up. It was the same person because he was kind of different.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't know if like nowadays, see, this is one of those movies and you can tell me what you think. I don't want to ever see this remade. This, you know, we've had Fast and the Furious, all the, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think they could get the nice car chases. I mean, the driving in this and the car crashes and all the scenes were awesome in this movie, especially, I mean, 77. There's, you know, they obviously have stunt drivers, which was something I always watched. I was like trying to look real close, like, all right, that's not, you know, which we know it's not Burt Reynolds driving, but I try to find,
especially when Sally Field was driving.
Yeah. It's probably a dude, actually.
Yeah, probably.
with a wig on or something. Oh, it was 77. It was probably just a guy with long hair. But, yeah, I don't think I don't want to see this remade.
I don't want to see a lot of movies remade because Hollywood just gets it wrong a lot these days, I think. I mean, I like movies, but I also like originality and creativity and, you know, cleverness. And it's hard to find these days, you know? A lot of times my brother wants to go see a movie and I'm like, I'm afraid to watch movies these days. I don't want to be disappointed and pay the money for it. You know, it's like, it's tough to find a good movie these days.
No, so, I completely agree. I mean, my wife, she'll watch anything aside from these kinds of movies a lot. Like
really?
She really doesn't, she has no sense of nostalgia. You know, she doesn't, there's no meaning to them. She grew up in, you know, I grew up in, not in the city, in the suburbs. But I just remember watching, you know, HBO got big when I was a kid, watching a lot of HBO. Mm-hmm. The VCR had just come out pretty much, you know, when we were kids or in the actual, you know, in people's homes is when it came, became big. She didn't really, you know, she didn't grow up in the country. She didn't have cable. She didn't have a VCR.
Good for her, man.
Yeah. So for her, she loves she'll watch basically any horror movie, but she'll watch any other movie. And I'll be honest, my answer is going to probably be no every episode. When it comes to, would you want to see this as a remake? Because like she was just saying the other day, like, oh, I'll watch that new Red Dawn. I don't want to watch Red Dawn. The new Red Dawn. I have no interest in it. And I rewatched that, probably last summer. Her and I started watching it and it was later at night and I said, you know, we'll just go to bed. It was kind of actually the opposite of this movie where I really enjoyed Smoking the Bandit now more so than when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Where Red Dawn, man, I fantasized about that movie as a kid. And, you know, being an adult, I was like, wow, like it just, I don't know. It just didn't strike me as good being an adult. I mean, I still like the movie and I'll watch it again and we'll probably do it as an episode. But when I was a kid with Red Dawn, man, and it, you know, not to, I don't know, to sound bad or anything, but like when I was a kid watching that movie, I wanted it to happen here. You know what I'm saying? And I think a lot of kids thought that, like,
sure,
wow, we could be the kid heroes,
right,
and you know, go to the camping store that the one kid's father owned. See Thomas Howell, I think it was his character, his father owned it, and they got all the gear and, you know, so as a kid, I loved that movie. Then when I watched again, it kind of had the opposite effect as this movie did.
Yeah. So yeah, there's definitely going to be movies like that. I probably watched Red Dawn one time and that wasn't as an adult. So I don't know it.
Oh, really?
I didn't feel that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We definitely watched it a lot as a kid. Like I said, we had the VCR. Actually, we had a Betamax. My mother got us a Betamax because
that's like the Blu-ray HD DVD thing, like which one's going to be the right one to get.
Yeah, right. And I think Betamax was Sony, wasn't it? Wasn't it a Sony product? And she got a Betamax. We never actually physically had it in the house per se as my brother and I using it. It was in the house. It was hidden in the closet for Christmas. And the people across the street had a Betamax. So she had them like taping all these movies for us and everything. And I don't know if it was at the point where VCR took over or someone just said like, you know, gave her the information like Betamax is done. She took it, ended up taking it back and getting a VCR. So we never, you know, she had these Betamax tapes with movies on them. We never, you know, got used in the house.
That's so weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
It's weird that it happened so quickly. I don't remember it happening quickly where somebody could buy it and then it would, a couple months later, it would be obsolete.
Well, it might have actually been, you know, at the point where the Betamax was just about to be phased out maybe or something. I don't remember the timing. I know my parents were divorced by that time, so money was probably very limited at that point. So it probably was like, you know, me getting a PlayStation 1 right now. You know what I mean? Everyone's like, dude, a PS4 is coming out next month.
Or an HD DVD drive instead of a Blu-ray.
Yeah, right. So it's kind of like one of those things.
Well, and Sony finally won in the end with the Blu-ray. So they got everybody back.
Yeah, it took some time.
Yeah,
but they got theirs. Yeah, we use. I mean, the VCR. She still has. Do you remember the old VCR case? Like the drawers, it had the fake wood grain stickers kind of on them, and you would pull them out, and there's all your VHS tapes.
Yes,
because she still has those in her basement.
Oh man,
she has like a little room down there with her, you know, Gazelle and a TV and VCR and DVD player and I was just
the Gazelle, going, the Tony Little Gazelle.
Yeah, she has one of those and a Nordic-Track.
That's awesome. Which, that's like a retro basement.
Yeah. So I used to get yelled at for getting on that Nordic-Track all the time.
Why? Because it's so expensive, right?
Yeah, it was real expensive when it came out. But yeah, she still got the box with all the tapes in there and you know, Red Dawn's there and, my favorite classic, 80s movie, Cloak and Dagger.
Oh yeah. That was a good one.
That still
I remember because it had the Atari 5200 in it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it did actually. Yeah. Just the game wasn't actually a 5200 game.
Yeah, it was.
No, it was like, they had like a arcade or something playing it on the side, tapped into the TV. If you listen,
it was a 5200 cartridge.
Well, it was a fake cartridge, though. I haven't done the research.
You mean in real life?
Right. Yeah. Like the game never came out for the 5200.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I guess they were supposed to, and so like they had it all mocked up, and then someone was actually playing the game on the side, making it look like it was a 5200.
Yeah. Okay. You're right. So it wasn't a real game. I was thinking just in the movie.
Yeah.
In the movie, they made it seem real.
So I looked at that tape and I go, man, I want to take that home. And I'm thinking, why do I want to bring a VHS tape? And it's not even like it was the actual store bought in Cloak and Dagger. It was, you know, you'd put the, when you'd buy your VCR blank tapes and you get the stickers for the top and the long front side. And it's written in there. It's almost faded out, Cloak and Dagger. And I can't remember what was on there with it, but,
yeah, you can put like three movies on them.
Yeah. Depending on what quality you wanted, like long play, extended play or something like that.
My brother used to tape. We should get my brother on the show. He used to tape everything that came on. He moved recently down to Florida and we helped move him, me and my dad. And we threw out banker box after banker box of VHS, nothing but VHS tapes. I think we almost filled the dumpster. And that was only half of them because the other half made the trip. So trust me, I know all about VHS.
Did he know you were throwing them out?
Yeah, he I was surprised. He said, we got to get rid of these. And I'm like, really? You know, because he's a saver. So yeah, we threw them out in the dumpster at his apartments there before we brought them down and... Yeah.
Yeah. That, you know, I thought for a second about bringing that case home, and there's absolutely no way my wife would let that in the door. I mean, I come home with some stuff from my mom's.
No, you just take your laptop over and start converting them, and then just, you don't have to bring them home.
Yeah. Well,
convert them while you're over there.
There's easier ways to go about it. That's too much work. So,
yeah, good point. But you'll miss all the little lines and wavinesses and wrong colors and bad hues and saturation. You won't get that unless you use VHS.
Yeah, I mean, I like this stuff, but I don't need to be the exact experience.
Okay.
It's the same. But yeah, you and I had talked before. You said your brother's very nostalgic about stuff.
Yeah.
Where you're not necessarily so much.
I'm not. but I do remember movies.
Yeah, and I knew this episode, like I said, when I asked you last week, I had a feeling because of the Mustang you bought, I had a feeling this was a movie that you enjoyed as a kid.
Yeah, you that. Were right.
So, let me see here. Some of the I guess you could say facts about the movie. Actually, I don't have much, but I was thinking here, this is one thing I thought of. How many tires do you think they went through making this movie? Because every scene there was so much smoke, yeah. You know, burning out and breaking like 100 feet.
Do you actually have that stat?
No, I don't.
Oh.
But that was a question I had watching. I'm like, they had to have burned through tires.
Totally.
Making this movie.
Every scene of Burt Reynolds in the car is him taking a hard left or something.
Yeah. Like, definitely. The only stat that I did get was that they used, they actually had 4 modified Trans Ams.
Really?
That they used for the movie.
How fun would it be driving them? That's what kind of gets me off. I could drive them all day long.
Yeah, see, I think it would be fun if I had a nice open road for a little bit, but I definitely don't have that much of a love for that kind of car myself. But yeah, I knew you would.
Yeah, but no, I'm kind of like you, because after driving a car like that around for a month, you're like, okay, I got to get back to something that's more comfortable and I can chill and not just race around.
Well, yeah, and how many chances can you take of getting, you know, not having a policeman at that convenience store,
totally.
You know, parked behind, which would be my luck. The only other kind of cool fact that I found, and I didn't actually get a chance to go back and really find out, there was three Dukes of Hazzard actors that were in it. And I don't have it written down here, but it was it Roy Schneider? Who's
I don't know, man. That's a show. I wasn't a show watcher.
Yeah. See, I remember watching Dukes of Hazzard as a kid. I think it was on Friday nights. And then I want to say it was followed by like Miami Vice or something. But yeah, I don't have it handy right now. But that was kind of cool. And one of them was a police officer actually on Dukes of Hazzard and in this film.
Oh, really?
But those are stats that I do not have handy. So we'll just kind of move on from that.
You know, the chase, one of the things that pissed me off about this movie, and almost every movie where there's a chase scene that they end up having to go over a bridge, and they did it in this movie just like they did it in... Anyway, here's what I don't like. There was one part in this movie where the bridge was down, and, you know, they were racing towards that point, and they would literally fall off the bridge if they went off that bridge. Because it wasn't there. It was broken. It was broken down. But in typical Hollywood style, they decided to jump the bridge, right? Here's what just gets me every time on these scenes. There's no way on an absolutely level bridge, no matter how fast you're going, that you can jump the bridge unless there's some type of slope or ramp
right.
at the launch point. And for some reason, these cars go flying up at a 45-degree angle on these scenes and then land on the other side of the bridge. And then the cops go just like normal physics would take them, straight down.
Straight down.
That happened in the movie Speed. Remember Speed, where they jumped the bus?
I don't think I saw that. Was that the Keanu Reeves?
Keanu Reeves, yeah.
Yeah, I saw it once. I think I erased that.
You lose me when you jump a bridge or jump anything where there's no ramp there, but you're jumping off at an incline. That's where you lose me in a movie, and that pissed me off about this movie.
Yeah, it was kind of a little far fetched from that, but you definitely saw it coming when the sheriff of the town was telling the driver of the car to slow down. It didn't matter because the bridge was out of commission. You knew right then and there, you know, it was going to happen.
It's going to be a disaster.
And that actually was one of my other favorite scenes. After that happens, and they kind of like I think they're kind of like hanging there. And then, the next car, which is Justice and his son, kind of rear end him and knock him in. And that's when the sheriff comes out. And that's where you get your racist, sheriff right there, where he's, you know, thinks, you know, I thought you sounded a little taller.
Yeah. You looked a lot taller on the radio.
Yeah. And then he kind of pulls his son aside and he's like, what is the world coming to? You know, so. I mean, it was fun.
We wouldn't, that wouldn't fly these days.
No, it wouldn't. But I mean, you just take it for what it is. It's trying to show you this guy is you know, he's a, kind of a jerk. But, yeah, that was definitely a funny scene. So, so my question to you is, overall, you think that, you know, you think this movie holds up now?
Yeah. Yeah, it's very entertaining. The car scenes were real. It would probably be all CGI nowadays. The acting was good. I thoroughly enjoyed it, man. And I thoroughly enjoyed it 3 days ago when I watched it.
Yeah, I did too. I mean, I definitely could watch this movie again. And you're right. If they, you know, if it was to be done now, you know, there'd be so much going on that, you know, to have a bridge scene with a jump, that's one thing, but there would be a lot. Like, I can't get into like the Fast and Furious movies. I think I watched the first one, but after that, I was just.
They're almost cartoonish. I mean, it's like, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, the car chases even in this, and it, you know, you're kind of like, okay, but it's more believable to me. I can let myself be lost in this.
Yeah.
More so than movies now.
Absolutely. And you know, they say this is a fact, but I think it's bull that the attention span of people these days is less than it was. I don't think that, I don't know. I don't do any measurements or anything, but I don't think that's true because a lot of movies now are just flashing scenes back and forth real quick, like Michael Bay style.
Right. Yeah.
And okay, maybe you think attention spans are short and you're doing that, but maybe if you just made a movie normal, people would enjoy it like just like they did 20 years ago. You know, it's not your attention span. It's your idiot director's attention span maybe, but not the viewer.
Right.
So just chill out on the cameras a little bit and just have a real move. Nice real movie.
Yeah. I like movies now, you know, nowadays too, but I mean, it seems like a lot of movies these days too, they feel like they have to explain everything to you. You know what I mean? Like that the viewers can't figure stuff out.
Right.
And that's kind of, I don't know, that's kind of irritating to me.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I feel the same way. I definitely think this movie holds up, and I'll watch it. It's in my library now. It's something I'll pull out, which leads me to my next question, which I would normally ask Dor, because he has kids, and, you know, so I guess I could ask you this. Would you let your cats watch this movie?
No way.
No way.
If I had kids, I would definitely let them watch this movie.
Yeah, the first episode we did with Private Eyes, I let my youngest, he was in watching it. This one I was kind of like teetering. I wasn't sure.
Really?
Yeah.
There's no nudity. How old are your kids?
5, 7, and 11. So the 11-year-old I would, my daughter came in. I don't know. I guess it's that,
I would be more worried about the older kids watching it because they would actually get what they were talking about. The younger kids, they would just see it as a fun car chase movie, I think, right?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I don't have kids. I don't know.
Right,
I don't have this reality.
I'm not saying I won't or I wouldn't let them watch it. I don't know. I probably would, you know.
But why wouldn't you?
The language wasn't bad. And as a matter of fact, we talked about this the other day where there's a scene where he says, you know, he drops the F-bomb, but there's a truck going by and a horn kind of goes off. So you see him, you know, Justice is saying dropping the F-bomb, but I don't think we heard it all.
No.
You know?
I actually thought I had a scaled down, like a, you know, copy that wouldn't allow the language.
Yeah, I probably would let him watch. I mean, I don't go around using language all the time around my house, but I'm sure my kids have heard me say things that have been, you know, said in this movie anyways. I probably would. I don't think now it would get a PG. I think it would get a PG-13, but that's just my opinion.
I agree.
And I was talking to my wife about this, like the rating systems definitely have changed. And I, you know, growing up back then, I think I saw a lot more stuff probably earlier than I should have, but that was just being, you know, product of a, you know, a divorced family, you know, mom working, dad's working. You know, I remember watching Children of Corn when I probably shouldn't have seen it. And that, you know, and that movie freaked me out for years.
Yes.
My wife used to make fun of me because the theme song or whatever of Children of the Corn just freaked me out. I hated that. So she would always, you know, try and do it it didn't scare me now, but she knew, so she'd kind of bust on me. But
dude, I'm getting scared myself right now.
Did you like that movie?
It scared the heck out of me.
Did it really?
Yeah.
You're the only other person I know that says that. Everyone else is like, and funny story about that is, I was visiting my father, and we were, you know, everyone had HBO back then, if you had any kind of premium channel, and it was on HBO a lot. And I remember, you know, my father and I must have been watching something, and we're on the couch, and we fell asleep. And I remember waking up like just later on or something, and it was on. And the way we were on the couch, like I couldn't get up to turn it off, but my father was sleeping. And I can always remember that, like hearing it, that music. And I had already seen it before that, but I remember just sitting there going, no.
Oh man. This movie, man. That's horrible.
But I'm not a big horror film. Any, you know, I really don't like
me neither.
Scary movies. So my wife and I are viewing is a lot, you know, there's a lot of times I'm like, oh, I'm going on the computer. She's like, what are you scared? I just don't like them. I really don't. I just,
well, you could tell from, you know, mealymonsterland.com that your wife probably is into the horror movie.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm sure she's watching one right now as we record. She was sifting through the horror genre on Netflix. So
really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, well, all right, man. I think that pretty much covers our review of,
well, before we end off, I did tug on door on a Voxer message before the show, and he said, don't forget to bring up oomph when Buford T. Justice says oomph. That was one something Dor wanted to remark on. And lastly, he said, and also don't forget, when I get home, the first thing I'm going to do is punch your mama in the mouth.
Yeah. How did I forget that part? I don't even know how I've been saying that for the past 2 weeks.
I know. That is a line that who knows if they would say that these days.
There's no way. No way that you could come from my loins. Soon as I get home, the first thing I'm going to do is punch your mama in the mouth.
That was probably one of his best lines in the movie.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. That's definitely good. So, yeah, I mean, for anybody, I'm sure anybody listening to this probably has seen Smoking the Bandit. If you haven't, you can go rent it, probably Amazon. Excuse me. You got to watch the movie. As far as the sequels go, I don't remember much about the sequels. I'll probably watch 2. It is on Smoking the Bandit 2 is on Netflix. So I'll probably watch that just because of the whole place that I had as a kid with the elephant. I want to see the connection there. And Dom DeLuise, he's a funny guy. But yeah, definitely check out this movie. It's definitely a good watch.
I agree. Definitely check it out. Of all ages, check it out. You'll see some damn good chase scenes, if anything.
Yeah, definitely. See how these cars should be driven, huh?
Definitely.
All right. Well, Steve, really, man, thanks for coming on. I'm glad you came on, especially with Dor. You know, something happened. He couldn't make it tonight, but it was definitely a good time, man.
Totally, man. Thanks for asking me to come on. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, and like I said, I'll keep you up to date on what we're doing. If anything, like I said, you're not the big nostalgia man, but if any movies hit you, you're definitely more than welcome to come back on another episode.
Thanks.
So for anybody else, any new listeners we have, you know, where can people find you? Anything you want to talk about or tell everybody?
Yeah, I'm lately, this last couple of years, I've been in like a transitional stage. I don't know what the heck I'm doing these days. But if you want to find my hub of operation, go to stevecherubino.com, and whatever it says I'm doing on there is what I'm doing currently. So that's the best place to find me.
Well, that sounds good. And for anybody listening, if you want to send in a comment, suggestion maybe on things we should do on the show, or suggestions on maybe a movie or something you'd like us to cover, you can send those to throwbackreviews@gmail.com, and we'll definitely consider that. So if you want to find anything of mine other than Throwback Reviews, if you follow Twitter, you can go at Throwback Reviews on Twitter. I just started that. Or you can go to sjdiner.com, has links to anything that I'm on, Google+, my Twitter, or just go to throwbackreviews.com. So it was a good time. Another good show in the can. And until next time, thanks for listening.
What the hell is the world coming to?